Right now, it's time to bring in a person who's probably bored listening from what we've been talking about. It is Tim Luke. Greg is not with us this morning. Tim and Greg, of course, the appraisal guys. The Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack. Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, TQAG.com. It's appraise this. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's good. I like that.
I don't know, you guys. I really do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You can't deny it that much.
That's right. And like we said, Greg is in the no-fly zone.
Yes, he is. He's at his mom's. And, you know, it's not only a signal thing, but also because of what his mother's going through with the aphasia and it's kind of the onset of dementia. She hears voices, and she's waking up. She's not sure what's going on. So he just doesn't want to upset the apple cart either.
I would think that's a smart. After some, you know, 10 years ago, I went through the same thing. I understand it 100%.
Right. Okay. You know, it's just easier to keep the peace. Yeah.
As much peace as you can.
As much normalcy as you can.
That's
yes,
it.
And that's what he's doing. So.
All right. Well, speaking about normalcy. Your name came up again in an interview that I did just yesterday.
Really?
There's a downsizing expert, which is giving a class at Berkshire Community College.
Huh.
And we were talking about, you know, how important it is for people to get together with their family members if you're older and you're downsizing, mm-hmm. about getting rid of things and finding the value. And we started talking about how you and Greg mentioned this on Appraise This all the time, that it's probably wise to contact an appraiser, find out what these things are worth now that have accumulated over 20, 25 years. So I just wanted to let you know that. It came up in the conversation.
And well, the word's getting out.
But it's time. You know, as people come out of their Facebook haze a little bit,
yes,
and realize that it was absolutely wonderful for democratizing stuff. All right, because all things really became equal, because you cannot tell from a picture, I don't care, how, whether it was broken, whether it's the same thing, whether
correct.
It's a copy.
Correct, or the appearance is all equal. You're exactly right, Joe.
And that equality, that is the very thing that stops, once you break that connection and you're not looking.
Correct.
You're in a completely different universe. And of course,
you're dealing in virtual reality instead of real reality. Once you break that, you're now in the real reality. And that's what I was going to bring up today was, you know, how imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Right.
I had an auction professional call me yesterday. Oh, I think I found this $1 million painting. And if it were correct, it could potentially have been, but it was a 17th century Dutch painter,
right?
And she finds it in this estate where, if that there's a lot of ifs then. So what I mean by that is, if they had this and knew what it was, then there would be paperwork and provenance and things that would have stayed with the piece because it's a significant piece. Or maybe, okay, let's say maybe they didn't know about it, but somewhere along the line when they purchased it, they would have had to have had some sort of inkling. So when she sent it to me, I looked at it and then I looked at the signature and pulled up some of the examples of this particular painter's work, and I sent it to her. I said, okay, put your work next to this work. This particular Dutch painter was known for attention to detail. Look at the original, how detailed, and look at yours. It's like you're almost squinting at the landscape, right? There's no detail. Do you see how blurry that is? I'm going to say school of, friend of, imitation of something, but
yeah,
not
somebody,
the actual person.
Quite right. Know. And somebody likely did it as a copy or whatever.
Absolutely.
If someone goes into my closet, they are going to see my upstairs closet. I got it at the transfer station in Salisbury. They are going to see a school of Brock, not to be confused with school of rock. Okay.
Right.
And if you don't know, it's not even a good copy, but it's funny enough that for me, I'm like, okay, cool. But it's not, it's just, you don't typically find You know, how does that song go? You look at something. Oh, it's a Meatloaf song. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Jim Steinman. Looking for a golden mountain of rocks. There ain't no Coupe de Ville lying at the bottom of a Cracker Jack box.
Amen, sister.
That's it.
And amen.
If you think you found one, great, because that's exciting. Right. But you can do the and I'm going to jump to a completely different end of this now. Competent forgeries at this juncture are much – I mean, there's a real bit – I believe – and we talked about this from time to time. But I think that art misbehavior – let's call it art misconduct
–
is the fourth largest let's call it a bad business, you know, like an incorrect art misconduct is the fourth largest. You're right up there with arms, organized crime.
Oh yeah,
with drugs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yep. And fraud and all of that, as far as manipulation in the market and everything that's going on, that's right up there.
Yeah.
But from a whole nother perspective, what I appreciated is that she reached out. She phoned a friend because she knew. Okay, this could be something. Let me just double check, because she's not used to that. She's doing her client a real service by being able to do that. And I told her, yeah, put it in your online auction. Just say School of or Circle of, and here's what in the style of, basically, and then just see what happens. And I said, and if you ever come across anything, please let me know, because I'm more than happy to help. You know, it didn't take me very long. And I took a look at it and I sent it to a colleague in New York. And you know, he also was like, well, yeah, it looks a little blurry to me too. And I said, okay, just want to make sure. But it's that you have to do the due diligence, and it's good to have somebody that you can go to and speak with. And speaking about the whole downsizing thing is that this weekend, so Greg flew to his mom's on Sunday, and I took my parents out to lunch for Easter brunch, and picked them up, took them out. And we just, you know, of course it was a long wait, but I said, well, let's use this time. And we were talking about just stuff, but I said, okay, now it's time that we're going to go to the attorney. I'm making an appointment, which I've already done. I'm making this appointment, and we're going to get the wills updated. What about your doctors? How are you feeling? What's going on? And really just catching up, because so many times there are missed opportunities, and you have to seize those opportunities to talk about, just ease into it. You don't have to, okay, we have to have this conversation now. You're all going to die, and we have to deal with what we're going to do.
Right.
With the stuff.
It's like the relationship isn't working, and you don't walk in and say, okay, we're breaking up now.
Yes, exactly. No, you know, it's okay. We have some time here, so I'm going to get on this. And how do you feel about this? And what do you want to do about this? And the other thing is that, you know, my dad he's got this pain because of his back and his neck and his hips, and he has a neuropathy, and this all kinds of things. And he's been taking all these pain meds and everything. And so I reached out to a friend of mine who has a contact with a doctor that does the medical marijuana. And think Midwest Italian Catholic mother and marijuana. So I mentioned this, and she was like, oh my gosh, but isn't your dad going to get the munchies? And I said, Mom, I think they've fixed this, but it is something we need to explore, because we can do that here now in Florida, and it is something that we need to do. It is these kind of conversations that will help down the road as well. So you don't know the answer until you go and ask the question and find out, is this going to help, and is this going to make a difference? And it's the same thing with your stuff and what you're going to do with the items that you have, whether it's in your estate or you're in the house, or what items you have and who wants them. I always tell people, just start talking about it and say, is there anything here you want? Because what we found when doing downsizing workshops is that a lot of people, the kids would have liked the stuff when they were younger, and now a lot of the kids, when they're older and it's time for the parents to downsize, they're in the process of downsizing too. So they don't want it. And then they feel guilty about saying no, that they don't want it. So it's have the conversation and move those things, move the things out. It's easier, much easier.
Right. And but you have to start the conversation. You really do.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, oh, I know what it was. I was looking up some China the other day. Just because while it's not my style necessarily, it was just an attractive, it was a really good piece of craftsmanship, and I was appreciating it as I was looking it up. And I thought, you know, there's a huge assumption out there that everything old is like, oh, well, I'm not going to use, let me get rid of it. And it doesn't hurt to stop for a minute. And just again, get back away from your screen when you get a chance and look around your environment and see if it's utilitarian or if it could use a little bit of beauty. Do you know what I mean? It's almost as though in the past, especially, and this goes hand in hand with downsizing, because people do, let's say, deaccession, which is the museum word for things. We've got about 3 minutes. And those things then become available in a way that they never were. And to simply say, oh, I don't like it, you know, it's all, I don't have time for this, I want, is reflexive, knee-jerk, and forgets that there are a bunch of people out there who do actually appreciate these things.
Yes, and it's that diversity of items that are out there. And you know, and we're going through a whole different transition, I think, in decorating and what people like. And I like a little bit of old, a little bit of new, a little bit of modern, you know, just to shake it up a little bit, because that diversity is really nice, instead of everything having to be the exact same thing. Or, and that's changing. You know, the tastes are changing, and along with that, that goes really what people are collecting and why, and where the money is. And you know, we've said this before. We have two generations downsizing at the same time, and nobody there to absorb as much of the stuff that's going into the marketplace. So with all of that going on, the prices are going down, and I'm seeing it. I'm completing an estate appraisal, and it was a basic furniture, nice, and it's in good condition. But when you pull up the results now, and it's interesting because on Live Auctioneers, you can pull up results for the same item, and you definitely have to search by the newest first, because there was the same item in 2008 was significantly higher than in 2018. So 10 years later, just the difference of, you know, some brown furniture, and this is it's Lane furniture. It's nothing that is really even antique, but 10 years ago, there was more, you could see more of a desire for some of these pieces, as opposed to even today, where, no, I don't really want that, and the desirability has gone down. And I found that fascinating when I was researching a lot of the items in the estate, and really looking at that really caught my eye, as I started looking at several different examples and saying, oh my goodness, yes, even a secretary or a sideboard. Those sort of things that 10, 15 years ago would have been bringing $1,000, $2,000. They're, you know, $700 now. So, and same quality, same type of item. So to see where things are going and watch that and consult with a professional, that's what's really important, because as you stated, Jill, is that the internet, oh yeah, that photo, this looks like mine, it's got to be the same and it's got to be worth this. Or looking at sales results from auctions, and knowing how to interpret the data is so important. And that's why you go to somebody who's been in the marketplace for a while and can help you maneuver through that, so that you don't make mistakes and so that you do get the best information to make an informed decision. And that's really what it's all about.
So true, and thank you, and our love to Greg, and we will talk to you next
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. Hey, how's the fundraiser going?
We are now just about $1,400 shy. We have 12 more days.
Fabulous.
12 more days.
Look at that.
So we're pretty sure we're going to hit that.
But fantastic. You,
and thank you for your donation.
Your donation kicked it off. It really did.
I'm glad we could do that. So happy we could do it, and congratulations. That's wonderful.
All right, Tim.
Yay.
Our best
Have a
Greg.
Good week.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraises. You'll find them at tqag.com on the web.